It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. Every year, the American Lung Association puts out a State of the Air report. And since the Clean Air Act became law, the nation's air has gotten cleaner. And increasingly, regulations on vehicles and power plants have helped cement the gains, but there's still plenty of room for improvement. Janice Nolan is the Assistant Vice President of National Policy and Advocacy for the Lung Association and one of the authors of the report. She says there's definitely some good news, but with the planet getting hotter, we won't all be able to breathe easy.
We're actually doing better in particle pollution, year-round particle pollution levels, but we had much more ozone spread around the nation. A hot summer in 2012 meant that our ozone levels went up for much of the nation. And as a result, we have more people who are breathing unhealthy air than in our previous report.
How does climate change make ozone worse, if it does?
It does. As we get warmer temperatures, the raw ingredients that create ozone cook better. The raw ingredients, the gases, volatile organic compounds, nitrogen oxide and carbon monoxide, come from those smokestacks and tailpipes, and they cook in sunlight, and heat makes that cook better. So when we're trying to deal with ozone, by having to have that heat, it makes a much more receptive area for the ozone to form. And with carbon pollution adds to that temperature, it adds to that heat. And so as we can reduce the carbon pollution, we're going to have a better shot at being able to reduce the ozone overall.
What are the health impacts of ozone?
Ozone is a highly irritating gas. It irritates the lungs as if you had a sunburn or somebody was rubbing sandpaper over a wound. And what that ultimately does is cause things like asthma attacks, coughing, and wheezing. It can send people to the hospital and the emergency room. It can even shorten life. And now we're learning that it may have things that have more unusual impacts that we hadn't appreciated, like increasing the risk of having a low birth weight in a newborn baby. So the more we're learning about these pollutants, especially about ozone, the more harm we're finding as a result of that. Where particle pollution is even more serious. Particle pollution that we've been reducing is extremely lethal. It can cause heart attacks and stroke. It can also increase the risk of lung cancer.
Geographically, where is ozone pollution particularly bad?
In most all of the country, we have a lot of areas in the big cities, urban areas, and in places where we're seeing a lot of extraction in oil and gas, where we're seeing a lot of the raw ingredients for ozone being created. So we're seeing some places that hadn't had ozone problems before having them. Lots of the country where it's warmer, sunnier, where the raw ingredients can cook well and create it. So a big part of the middle part of the country.
What cities are the worst?
The worst for ozone are a lot of the California cities. Los Angeles has been number one on our list of most polluted cities for a long, long time. And we also have cities like Bakersfield, Fresno, Sacramento. But after you get out of the California area, Houston, Dallas, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, all of those are among our 10 most polluted cities for ozone.
In terms of ozone, what particular populations of people are at risk, and is that income related at all?
In some ways, actually, both ozone and particle pollution affect some of the same people. People who are children or teenagers, because your lungs keep growing until you're 18 years of age. People who are over 65, people who have chronic lung disease, chronic heart disease, people with diabetes, people who are healthy adults who exercise or work outdoors, and also low-income people. Those people, for many reasons, are folks who have some of the highest impacts and are most vulnerable from pollution of all sources.
From a policy perspective, what needs to be done then to address the ozone problem?
We need to have a tighter ozone standard. EPA is looking at the science right now, and they are required to do this every 5 years in order to review and make sure that the goal that we're setting, the official standard for ozone, is right. And what we know is that it's not, that there's more pollution in the air and that levels that are much lower in ozone actually are harmful. And so we need to strengthen that standard, and that's going on right now. And that will help us better prepare for the future because it'll help us aim at the right goal for cleaning up pollution.
Now, the Supreme Court recently made a big decision when it comes to air quality on something called the cross-state rule. Tell us about it, why you think it's important.
We were really pleased with the Supreme Court decision about the cross-state rule because it's based in a part of the Clean Air Act that's called the Good Neighbor Rule. And that means that polluters that are in another state are not allowed to produce pollution that blows into a downwind state and causes unhealthy air. EPA has been trying to deal with that because the states haven't regulated themselves adequately. And so EPA provided some rules on how to reduce that. And that was challenged all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, absolutely, this is a provision that needs to be upheld. EPA has done a good job at trying to figure that out. And we need to make sure that pollution that's blowing across the state line, for example, into Maryland, where they found that so much pollution is blowing into Maryland from out of state, that they really can't meet their goal for cleaning up the air without having some help from the federal government. And the Supreme Court allowed that to happen.
What kind of legal precedent does this set for the rest of President Obama's efforts to regulate carbon pollution under the Clean Air Act?
We're hoping is that it shows that EPA can do these kinds of detailed analyses and establish rules that recognize that air flows everywhere and carbon pollution is just like that, and that you have to control these big sources, and often those big sources are away from some of the places where the pollution is having the biggest impact. So we're optimistic that this shows that looking at the Clean Air Act, which is, by the way, over 40 years old, establish these kinds of processes that, once they're allowed to work, can really help make a difference. And so we're optimistic that the carbon pollution standard will be able to help EPA take the tools that they need to address this big source of climate change.
Janice Nolan is the Assistant Vice President of National Policy and Advocacy for the American Lung Association. Thanks so much for taking this time with us.
Thank you so much. Take care.